Accession number 18003, Real 1.
Ron Yetman, Real 1. Where were you born, please?
Richmond, Surrey.
Which year was this?
1927, on the 23rd of January.
You grew up and have your schooling in Richmond?
Yes, all my schooling was in Richmond.
So you spent the war years there, did you?
Yes.
Have you got any Second World War memories?
Only of bombing.
Can you tell me about that, please?
Well, I was a young lad and I was a messenger in the ARP. We used to run messages from one post to another. Spent the early years when the Blitz started in an air raid shelter. Most evenings, or not evenings, but most nights. Then to school the following day, and I left school, and I became a messenger for the ARP, running messages from one post to another. It's quite an easy job. It was fascinating too.
What was so interesting about it?
It was scary. Near where we lived, there was in Richmond Park, was an AA battery that, well, used to open up every night when the planes came over. And it was interesting watching shell bursts, listening, the rattle of shrapnel from the bursts on the roofs, and bit scary in as much as that you didn't know if the shrapnel was coming near you or anything. Most of it was red hot when we picked it up too, as children will, you know, youngsters will. We used to collect it as souvenirs and try and make shapes out of it, you know, see what shape we could get, who had the most interesting shape, piece of metal. Nose cones of the shells were highly prized if we found one of those laying around, as invariably they didn't splinter like the rest of the shell. After the air raid ceased, it became quite boring. I was working in woodwork trade, and I was taken away from where I was working to work for the Ministry of Buildings. I don't know if that's what it was called, and it was, most of it was emergency bomb repairs. We were working at the age of 18, I was working 80, 90 hours a week, morning till dusk in the summertime, to do emergency repairs on buildings.
Was the pay good?
It's laughable, sixpence halfpenny an hour in old money. And I eventually, just before I joined the army, my pay went up to ninepence an hour. And I had enough of these long hours, so I decided to join the army. And two friends and I joined the army. And it was quite hilarious, really, because we went to Acton, which was the nearest recruiting office, to join as regular soldiers. We were all the job we were in was a reserved occupation, although eventually we would have been called up for national service. We decided we'd had enough, so we joined the regular army.
Just before you go on, were you employed by the council or by a private employer?
By a private employer. But the private employer was seconded to one of the ministries. I don't know which one. It was something to do with buildings. That the company had to work on bomb damage, and it wasn't... he just couldn't go around doing as jobs he wanted to do. He had to work for the ministry doing his bomb repairs.
So were you bricklaying or something like
no,
that?
No, most of it was woodwork, carpentry. Putting up shutters, repairing roofs, putting in new rafters and things like that in roofs.
So the bombing, did Richmond get much bombing in the war?
Not a lot, but it had its fair share of London, like the London boroughs did in those days. It wasn't extremely heavy, but it had its fair share.
Do you remember any specific buildings or streets that were hit in Richmond?
We had two in our street, but they were both at the top end of the street. After the air raids, just before I went into the army, they started sending over the doodlebugs and the B-1 rockets. And the first doodlebug was on the other side of the town from us. And then the first rocket, or two rockets, came in our area, among the first two to land. One was near Hampton Gasworks, which was one side of the town, and the other one was just off of Chrysler's car factory at the other end at Kew, or Mortlake, not Kew.
What was your address in the war?
14 Albert Road, Richmond, Surrey.
And when you say the other end of town, where did this V weapon hit?
Well, it was across the river, part of the borough of Richmond, but it's a place called Hampton, the first V1 rocket, near Hampton Gasworks. I didn't go over to have a look at it, but someone did say it didn't cause all that much damage, although there were damaged buildings around it. I was working in the East End of London at that time. I was transported to the East End of London every day. With the firm I work for, and there was some damage still there, but working in the East End of London was a bit more hairy because of there were more doodlebugs coming in that area.
Where did you work?
Bow, Mile End, Stepney, generally in that area.
Did you ever use the shelters?
When the doodlebugs came, we scarpered off the buildings. But as soon as it stopped and gone, we were back on the buildings. We very rarely went into shelters at that time. We didn't have any too near us where we work in, I suppose. A couple of hundred yards was the nearest one we had to us while we were working.
What was public morale like under the bombing in the war?
Grin and bear it, I suppose. It was quite good. I mean, as a youngster in the shelters every night, it was always a sing song and always something to do. Someone would start playing games and Ludo. It's where I learned to play chess, although I'm not a good player. But little things like that cropped up. There were people would always help you to do your homework. People had hobbies and they would teach other children if they were interested in the hobby. So it wasn't too bad at all. It was quite good in actual fact in the shelters.
Was there any hatred of the German Air Force?
In the area I lived, they used to swear like most people did about what was going on. Bloody Germans and things like that again, but no, not real hatred. A couple of families that lived in the street had relatives that were POWs. In actual fact, I had two cousins myself who were POWs. One in Japan and one in Germany. But I can't say anybody really thought about hatred, not among the children anyway. And us, as we were children, didn't take much notice anyway of what the grown-ups were talking about. We were more interested in ourselves.
Now, you're just about to tell me about joining the army, if you can pick that up, please.
It was rather comical. There was myself and two friends. I was an Englishman, George was Scottish descent, and Terry was Welsh descent. And we decided to join the regular army, so we trooped up to Acton, which was a recruiting office, and we wanted to join a parachute regiment. In those days, you weren't allowed to join a parachute regiment direct. You had to go to an infantry battalion, do your training, then transfer to the parachute regiment. And the recruiting sergeant wanted to know which regiment we wanted to join. Well, George wanted a Scots regiment, naturally. Terry wanted a Welsh regiment, and I wanted the East Surreys. So the recruiting sergeant was getting a bit shirty by this time while we were arguing, and told us to make up our bloody minds. So we tossed a coin in the middle of the recruiting office for odd man out, and George won. And we all decided to go into a Scottish regiment. And we'd done our PSO tests that were there at the time for people joining the regular army. And we never ever served together. George and Terry served together. Eventually they went in the parachute regiment. But I went into a Scottish regiment. I went to a training battalion as opposed to a training regiment.
What date are we on now?
We're into 1946, early 1946. And from there on afterwards, I stayed in the army for a full term. George and Terry done 12 years each and came out of the army. But I stayed on for my full 22. And they both served the parachute regiment together. But I never ever bumped into them in the army at any time.
So where did you do your basic training?
I done my basic training at Fort William in Scotland.
This is Inverness?
Outside Inverness, yes.
What was it like?
It was quite good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a bit more ongoing than the ordinary training regiments, because they were all selected staff from the PSO tests, and they all eventually became senior NCOs. One chap I was there with, I eventually met up with later on when I went back to the Argyles, because first of all, when I'd finished my training, I went to the Gordon Highlanders. And from there, transferred to the Argyles, where I met up with, forgotten his name now.
May occur to you later on.
Yeah.
Why did you change from the Gordons to the Argyles?
I volunteered for a draft. Go out. I was stuck in Germany. I wasn't getting on too well in the Gordons.
What was the problem?
I think the problem was that my accent. I was English, and it didn't seem to go down too well in the Gordons at that time. Although once I got to the Argyles, it didn't make any difference. As long as I'd done my job, it didn't matter who you were. But the Gordons seemed to be more Scottish rather than clannish, and the Argyles were very clannish in their they tend to stick in the families rather than be Scottish, if you know what I mean. And as I say, I went to the Argyles, went to Korea, and carried on from there.
Was it the 1st Battalion of each of these regiments?
Yes, the 1st Battalion, the Gordons, the 1st Battalion. Then I went to the 1st Battalion, the Argyles.
Did you ask for a transfer from the commanding officer or something?
No, there was a draft going out to Hong Kong, and they wanted volunteers, so I just put my name down and volunteered.
Can you tell me about going to Hong Kong, please?
I didn't fly to Hong Kong. I didn't go to Hong Kong, in actual fact. I went straight to Korea. although the draft was originally scheduled for Hong Kong. I was in Germany at the time. We were sent home from Germany to Fort George. And from there we went up to Inverness Barracks and had all our inoculations. And by the time we got there, the Korean War was threatening, and had all our inoculations, embarkation leave, etc. Went down to Lynham in Wiltshire and flew out by RAF transport to Japan, and from Japan flew into Busan in Korea.
When did you volunteer for the Argyles, do you think?
About June 1950, maybe late May 1950.
So you never actually served in Hong Kong?
After I came back from Korea, yes.
But not before Korea?
But not before Korea.
Would you have volunteered for the Argyles had you known that you'd have ended up in Korea rather than Hong Kong?
Yes, I think I would have done. Yes, I would definitely would have done.
What was your attitude towards taking part in the Korean War?
Well, I was a soldier. I'd been trained and I hadn't really experienced it. Like all young men, eager. But not afterwards.
And how big a group were you with when you went to Busan?
About 30.
And do you know when you arrived there about?
Late August, early September.
What were your first impressions of Busan?
Busan was just a harbour area, just like any other harbour area, although the buildings were somewhat different to what I expected. There were no tall buildings, skyscrapers or anything at all like that. Rather primitive in a lot of ways.
Was there any welcoming party?
No, just a couple of officers from the regiment welcoming a new draft that was sent down to meet us. There we got on trucks. We were there for half a day and a night, so we moved out the following day up to Taegu to join the battalion. We had a few days at Taegu. And then we moved on from Taegu.
How did the Argyles compare with the Gordons?
Firstly, they were seemed very first impressions were far more friendly. Everybody seemed willing to help you. Maybe just because we were a new draft coming in, they wanted reinforcements.
Had they been in much fighting
yes,
by the time you reached them?
They'd had quite a number of casualties by the time we reached them. Arthur Morris was the chap that I'd done my basic training with, and he was one of the first people I met when I got out to Korea, so that helped quite a great deal. He was in B Company, but a different platoon at the time. And he was a corporal by then. And I think he was in 6th platoon, I think. But it didn't take long to settle in to the company, although from that time on, the only people that I knew in the regiment were B Company, because it was so scattered in Korea that you only got to know your own immediate platoons and companies.
Which platoon were you in?
I was in 5th platoon.
And what particular job were you given in the platoon?
I was brain gunner, section brain gunner.
Who was in charge of your section?
At that time, it was a Corporal MacDonald, and then I got the original Bob Sweeney came back, Corporal Sweeney came back. He'd been wounded, and he came back. He took over the section again, and Corporal MacDonald went to another, took over another section.
Were you familiar with the brain gun?
Yes, I was. I was quite handy with the brain gun, if I say so myself. I was a marksman on the Bren, first class shot with a rifle. But the Bren seemed to suit me, and I seemed to suit the Bren, and everybody was happy.
What did you like about the Bren gun?
It was accurate. It was an easily maintained weapon once you knew it. That was a bit heavy, but then again, for a Scotsman, I was quite big, and all the big chaps had big weapons, so it seemed to fit in okay.
Were you above the average height in the battalion then?
I was above the average height, yes. I was probably second, maybe third tallest man in the battalion, apart from one or two of the officers that tend to be a bit gangly, but I was certainly the tallest man in the company.
How tall are you?
At that time, I was 6 foot, but I've gone down a bit since then.
What was your weight?
My weight was 12 and a half stone, and I tended to stay that weight practically for all my army career.
What job were the battalion doing when you joined them?
They were in the rest area when I joined them, but they were only there for a couple of days, and then they started moving on towards North Korea again. We flew from... No, we walked from Taegu to a place called Kumchon. We had one or two skirmishes on the way up, nothing really serious, but enough to get us blooded, so to speak. That was where I had my first experience of napalm at its worst, a very horrific weapon, if I may say so. And then after came...
What was your experience?
Well, we'd put in an attack on a... We'd called for an airstrike on the opposition, just on the ridges in front of us. Wasn't much activity, but they were stopping us from moving forward. And we called for an airstrike, and the American Air Force came in and dropped this napalm, and it was horrific to watch the way the bomb just bounced, and as it bounced, it sent out this terrific sheet of flame for 30, 40 yards ahead of it and just burnt everything in its path. And once the initial flames explosion had finished, the flames, you just couldn't put it out. The only way to put it out was to cover it with earth so they starve it of air. And the people that it hit was terrible. I mean, some of our own lads were burnt by napalm a bit earlier on. And although one or two of them came back, those that had just minor burns on their arms, the scars that they bore from the napalm was terrible.
Did you see whether or not any of the enemy were hit by that napalm attack?
Yes, when we eventually cleared the position and went through it, there were several bodies laying there that had been burnt by napalm. They were rigid in the positions that they weren't. They were burnt. They were. If they'd been sitting down, they were just like a solid block of charred timber in the position they happened to be caught in when they were there by the napalm. We carried on marching and we got to this place called Kum Chon and had a few days break, and then we were airlifted in an old American boxcar up to a place called Kimpo Airfield, which is just outside Seoul.
In that advance to Kum Chon, had you used your burn gun?
Yes, but not often. It was, I say not often. I had fired the brain gun at the enemy, but the range was about 400 or 500 yards, so I couldn't see what targets were being hit, but it was enough to keep the heads down and allow the airstrike. After the airstrike, I didn't need the brain gun. We just marched or moved forward across the ground and took the position. There's no one there to oppose us anymore. We had no casualties there at that particular place. And then I say we got on an aircraft and they flew us up to Kimpo Airfield.
What happened there?
Well, we had a break. Got scrounged what kit we could, because we weren't being supplied by the British government. And most of the stuff we got, all the food and rations, etc., and so on, came from the Americans. Any items of clothing that we could scrounge, we had to scrounge from the Americans, beg, borrow, or steal mainly. When we first arrived in Korea, we only had jungle greens, which was tropical dress for the Far East. All our khaki stuff, battle dress stuff, was back at A echelon, and we just didn't have access to it. It was too